Om Sang Saraswati Namaha. This is the consecration of tantric offerings, and we've discussed many of their meanings and their subtle meanings on many levels many times, and it's about time to go through the mantras themselves. We're offering the Bijoyang, which is the celebration of victory that conveys the vibrations. It says Om Hrim, the sea, the nectar which comes forth from nectar. You who pour forth nectar, again and again bring nectar to me. Give me control of Kalika, the goddess who takes away the darkness. Give me Siddhi, the attainment of perfection. I am one with God. This is the mantra for the consecration of Bijoya, a preparation of the leaves of cannabis. Then inwardly reciting the Mula Mantra 7 times over the Bijoya. Mula Mantra is the mantra pertinent to the puja that we're performing. In this case, Kali. Om Ring Srim Kring Parameshwari Kali Ke Swaha. The Mula Mantra 7 times over the Bijoya. Put your hand over and over the offering, and we'll make 7 times. Remember our counting system. Om Ring Sring Kring Parameshwari Kali Ke Swaha. That's 1. Om Ring Sring Kring Parameshwari Kali Ke Swaha. 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 7 times, and then we'll show the Dhenu Mudra. Remember, also called the Amritikaran. Over the Bijoya, or the Dhenu Mudra. And then we'll show the Yoni Mudra. Either this one or this one. Take your choice. Either the Yoni Mudra, Dhenu Mudra, Yoni Mudra, Avahoni Mudra. Both thumbs will be in the Tattva Mudra position, and then you just close the hands together. Avahoni. And other mudras, Taphoni, Sanidaphoni, Sanirodhani, Samukhi Karani. All the mudras of the Avahon set of mudras. Offer the Bijoya, the celebration of victory, the nectar which comes forth from the nectar. The nectar is the bliss of immortal devotion. The purity of devotion is the nectar that we're offering. All the external symbols are conveyors of the bliss of the nectar of devotion. We're offering this bliss of the nectar of devotion. In this case, it's the Amritam, the nectar of immortal bliss. The nectar of pure devotion is what we're offering through the leaves of cannabis. And that's the preparation. Remember, we pressed out the soma plant. We ground it. We purified it. We shoved it through the sieve. We pushed it through the strainer. We poured off the impurities. We separated. And only we had the purest nectar of devotion remaining. And that's what we're offering.
That's the soma ras.
The soma ras. The amritam. The nectar of immortal bliss. Then satisfy the guru who resides in the 1,000-petaled lotus by offering the Vijaya 3 times with the Samkhet Mudra. And Samkhet Mudra is also used for tarpan. So in the left hand, you'll take a teaspoon of liquid, whatever you're offering for tarpan. And with this Samkhet Mudra, you'll take a pinch and offer it. I usually offer it over the yantra. So if you've established the yantra in the center of your puja, you can offer it the yantra. If you have a kailash, a smiling coconut, in the center of your puja, you can offer it to the coconut. Or you can offer it to the feet of your deity. You can pour it over the Shiva Linga. And then with the Samkheta Mudra and the Bijoya, offering 3 times. And then worship the Devi in your heart by offering the Bijoya with the same mudra, reciting the Mula Mantra 3 times. Om Ring Sring Kring Parameshwari Kali Ke Swaha. Om Ring Sring Kring Parameshwari Kali Ke Swaha. Om Ring Sring Kring Parameshwari Kali Ke Swaha. And then offer oblations to the mouth of Kundalini with the Bijoya while reciting the following mantra. So here, the mouth of Kundalini. Where does Kundalini reside? All throughout the Shushumna. And we're bringing her from her residence in the Muladhara up to unite with the Guru in the Sahasrara, with Lord Shiva. So here, in the mouth of Kundalini, you can take in your own mouth 3 times, or you can put on the yantra 3 times. And the mantra says, Eng bodha bodha bag badini mamaji huagri stiri baba sarvasattva vashankari swaha om eng om. O goddess Saraswati, who rules over all vibrations, inspire me and remain forever on the tip of my tongue. I am one with God. And now here, this is the nectar of immortal bliss, the pure devotion that we're offering. And this is the prayer with which we're offering and the purpose for which we are offering. Eng Eng Bhagvadini, she who is the goddess of all vibrations that speaks, who rules over all in vibrations, inspire me and remain forever on the tip of my tongue. After drinking the bijoya, he should bow to the guru by placing his folded palms over his left ear. Om Guru Vyo Namah. And then to Ganesh by placing his folded palms over his right ear. Om Gang Ganeshaya Namah. And lastly, to the eternal Adya Devi by placing his folded palms in the middle of his forehead. And then he should meditate upon the Devi. And we also go Om Guru Vyo Namah. Om Param Guru Vyo Namah. Om Parapara Guru Vyo Namah. Parameshti Guru Vyo Namah. Om Gang Ganeshaya Namah. Om Anantaya Namah. Ganesh and Guru. And Om Ring Sring Kring Parameshwari Kaliki Swaha Om Namah Shivaya, and then meditate. Now we offer the wine or alcohol, whatever beverage she's going to consume in this puja. Om, there is only one supreme consciousness without a second, which is both gross and subtle. O divinity, destroy the sin of slaying a Brahman, which became attached to wine by the death of Kaccha. Now, here is a story. Kaccha was the son of Brihaspati and a disciple of Sukra. He was the priest of the Asuras. Kaccha was burnt by the Asuras, and his ashes were mixed with the wine which Sukra drank. And when Sukra discovered what he had done under the influence of intoxication, he cursed the wine. So here, the Asuras killed. Brihaspati was the guru of the gods. Brihaspati's son, Kaccha, they killed him. They burned his body. They mixed his ashes with the wine. They gave it to their guru to drink. He got drunk on the wine. He said, what happened to Kaccha? And he looked deeply inside and he said, oh, the Asuras, under the influence of intoxication, they've mixed the ash with the wine. I didn't even know about it. I've consumed the ashes of a Brahmin. Now, this is Brahmahatya. This is a great pop, great sin. So he got mad and he cursed the wine. And in order to remove the curse of Shukracharya, we recite this mantra. So the curse is equal to Brahmahatya, the sin of killing a Brahmin. If we take intoxication without removing the curses, then we incur a sin equal to the slaying of the twice born. Because, yes, we've destroyed the consciousness. We are using it as a means of escaping from consciousness rather than as a means of entering into consciousness. And when intoxication becomes a means of escape, then it's a sin equal to slaying the Brahmin. When we consume consciously in moderation, it becomes a vehicle to remembering. O you who reside in the regions of the sun where the light of wisdom always shines, and your birth was in the dwelling place of the Lord of Ocean, in the churning of which this nectar was produced, who are one with the Bija Mantra of the Divine Mother, be free from the curse of Shukra. So here, Shukracharya has cursed this wine. Remember, the wine was produced at the churning of the milk ocean. When the gods and the demons were instructed by Lord Shiva to churn the milk ocean and get the nectar of immortal bliss, first came out Mahalakshmi, Sarvas Adya Mahalakshmi, Triguna Parameshwari, and then came the Halahala, the deadly poison, and then came so many things, amongst which was Baruni, wine, intoxication. And then came Amrit, the nectar of immortal bliss. Well, the gods and the demons started to struggle with one another. They began to fight. Who would be the first to drink the nectar? Whoever would drink the nectar would become immortal. The gods said, this liquid is for the gods. We are entitled to drink the bliss of immortal nectar. We are entitled to drink the bliss of devotion, pure devotion. The Asuras said, no, we will never give all the nectar to the gods. You have to give it to us. This is for the Asuras. We're stealing all the devotion. We're going to keep the devotion with us. Of course, this turned into a major conflict between the gods and the demons. Who would drink the devotion? Who would drink the nectar? And ultimately, the Asuras stole the nectar and ran off with it. And the gods said, we're doomed. Who will save us? If the Asuras become immortal, then what will happen to the world? And they called Vishnu. Vishnu, you please save us. Vishnu took the form of Mohini, the most beautiful enticement that attracts the consciousness of anyone who perceives that form. He took that form of Mohini in the form of the most beautiful woman that had ever walked upon in manifested existence. Mohini, she who thrusts all into the moha, into the delusion of egotistical attachment. And Mohini thrust all, everybody was totally mesmerized to see Mohini. They just couldn't stop looking at her. And Mohini very calmly, sweetly said, what are you guys fighting about? And the gods and the demons said, we just produced the nectar of immortal bliss by churning the milk ocean, the ocean of purity, the ocean of the purity of consciousness. And now we're trying to decide who's going to be the first to drink. And Mohini said, simple. There's no reason to fight. I'll take care of it all if trust me. Now, let all the gods sit on this side, and all the Asuras will sit on this side, and I'll just go down the line and pass out everyone their due portion. And both the gods and the Asuras said, that's fine, Mohini. And they surrendered to her the entire pot of the nectar of immortality. And Mohini went down the line of gods and gave each one a cup of nectar. And she went down the line of the Asuras and gave each one a cup of wine. And when the Asuras woke up, they realized that they had been tricked. So here is a reference to the wine that was produced from the churning of the milk ocean, which came from the regions of the sun where the light of wisdom always shines. The birth was in the ocean. She's always one with the Bij mantra of the Divine Mother. And now you be free from the curse from Shukracharya. Here's another mantra. Oh, goddess, the Om of the Vedas is the seed of the bliss of supreme divinity. May the sin of slaying a Brahman be destroyed by recitation of this principle. So when we recite Om, the pranab, the Om mantra, over the offering of the wine, it removes the sin of killing a Brahman. Now, Om Hring, the supreme Hamsa, the swan who flies on the wings of consciousness and nature, dwells in the brilliant heaven. As Vasu, the lord of wealth, it moves throughout the space between heaven and earth. It dwells on the earth in the form of the Vedic fire, and in the sacrificer, and is honored in the guest. It is in the household fire and in the consciousness of man and dwells in the honored regions. It resides in truth and in the ether. It is born in water, in rays of life, of light, in truth, and in the eastern hills where the sun rises. Such is the great illuminator of light, the truth, which cannot be bound or concealed, the great consciousness who dwells everywhere, supreme divinity. Very famous mantra from the Rig Veda. This is the consecration of the spirit of the nectar of immortal bliss. This is the remembrance with which we consume the spirit of the nectar of immortal bliss. Pure devotion, remembrance of that supreme Hamsa, the soul hum, the union of Purusham Prakriti. It dwells in the sacrificer, in the fire, in the regions between earth and heaven, in the highest heaven and beyond. It is one with the supreme divinity. It is the manifestation of the illuminator of light, the truth which cannot be bound or concealed. It is the great consciousness who dwells everywhere, the supreme divinity. This is our purpose. Our purpose is to unite with the supreme divinity, to become one with that bhava. It's different from a cocktail party. The purpose, and here in all of these pujas, our purpose and our attention, our sankalpa, is going to be of primary importance. Now we're going to repeat 7 times, I bow to the goddess of nectar who is relieved of the curse of Brahma. This Varuni Devi, this Shuddha Devi, she is the goddess of wine, the goddess of nectar. She lives in all vibrations, in the gross body, the subtle body, the causal body. She is all throughout the manifestations of vibrations. And she removes the Brahma, the curse of Brahma. Brahma cursed the wine, as well as Shukra. Now, krong, kring, krong, kring, krong, kra. Remove the curse of Krishna in the wine. Remember, Krishna cursed the wine. Actually, after the battle of Mahabharata, then Gandhari, Duryodhana's mother, she called Krishna and said, Krishna, the destruction of my family is all your fault. You could have stopped it. You're the supreme lord of the universe. You could do anything. You could have stopped it, but you didn't. You let everyone do exactly what they wanted to, and you didn't stop in and change anybody's nature. So I'm cursing you. Gandhari cursed Krishna. Just as my family has been destroyed, so your family will be destroyed. And it so happened that after the battle of Mahabharata, the Yadava armies were going back to Dwarka, and en route, they stopped and made a camp to rest. And in the night they made wine and everybody got drunk. And in their drunken stupor, they all thought that each other was the enemy of the other army. And they started to fight in the camp. And the entire army destroyed itself. And Krishna cursed the wine. So now we're saying the mantra that removes the curses that Krishna put on the wine. Don't get drunk and fight.
I don't drink.
You don't drink? Ah. Now, I bow to Ananda Bhairav, the bliss of fearlessness, and I bow to Shuddha Devi, the goddess of wine and purifying. O Maya, increase dissolution to the highest female divinity, Kali. I am one with God. Wave the lights and incense over the container of wine. We adore the father of the three worlds of excellent fame, granter of increase. As a cucumber is released from its bondage to the stem, so may I be freed from death to dwell in immortality. Om, intrinsic form of the universal family, infuse the thrill of joy into the essence of this excellent wine so that it produces full and unbroken bliss. You are the nectar which is infinite and the embodiment of pure knowledge. Fill this liquid with the nectar of the bliss of infinite consciousness. You alone are the form of that, as in Tat Tvam Asi. The infinite, unifying principle. Make this respectful offering of the intrinsic nature of that, and having become this divine nectar, blossom in me. Fill this sacred vessel of wine with the nectar of immortal wisdom produced from the essence of all that is in the world and containing all kinds of taste. Lord, may this cup of self, which is filled with the nectar of the self, be sacrificed in the fire of the Supreme Self. Wave lights and incense over the container of wine. Om Ring Trambakam Yajamahe. We adore the Father of the Three Worlds, of excellent fame, granter of increase. As a cucumber is released from its bondage to the stem, so may I be freed from death to dwell in immortality. I offer to Ananda Bhairav the bliss of fearlessness, purity. I bow. I am one with God, masculine. I offer to Ananda Bhairavi the bliss of fearlessness, purity. I bow. I am one with God, female, feminine. Om, I bow to my guru with the offering of respect. I am one with God. Om, I bow to my guru's guru with the offering of respect. I am one with God. Om, I bow to the gurus of the lineage with the offering of respect. I am one with God. Om, I bow to the supreme gurus with the offering of respect. I am one with God. Om, Maya, increase dissolution to the highest female divinity. I offer and bow to the foremost Kali. I am one with God. I offer and bow to the gods of the body. I am one with God. I offer and bow to the most worshipful gods who have been invited as attendants to the goddess. I am one with God. The whole circle that comes, the entourage that comes with Divine Mother. Om Maya, increase dissolution to the highest female divinity. I am one with God. I offer and bow to the foremost Kali accompanied by devoted attendants. I am one with God. Om, I bow to the young people. I am one with God. Om creation, Maya, increase. I bow to the young people. I am one with God. Om, I bow to the energies of the goddess which assist in union. I am one with God. Om, I bow to the protectors of the field of existence. I am one with God. Om, I bow to the Lord of Wisdom. I am one with God. Om, Maya, increase. I bow to the beings who cause the removal of all difficulties or obstructions. I am one with God. Om, O goddess, one of great parts, Shiva. O energy of infinite goodness, the intrinsic form of the final conflagration of total dissolution, please accept this sacrificial offering and reveal to me the good and evil fruit of action. Give me discrimination. Let me perceive, before I commit the action, what is the good result I'll get, what problems are going to arise. Is it worth it? The Kula worshipper should sanctify the wine by repeating over it the Pashadi Trikabija 108 times. And this is from the Mahanirvana Tantra. Ang Ring Krong Swaha 108 times. Creation, Maya, dissolution, I am one with God. Then take the cup to your heart and meditate upon the presence of the deity. Then put it back upon the square and ring the bell. If one has the desire to eat meat, maybe we'll continue with the meat on the next time. Otherwise, we'll just sacrifice the animalistic nature that we have. Do we have any questions about the Vijaya or the wine?
What's a kula?
Kula means, it has many levels of meaning. Kula means family. And kula means excellence. And it's used in the sense of the family of excellence. Kulachar. Remember, of our eight forms of behavior, there's Vaishnavachar, Vedakachar, Shaivachar, and Bhamachar, and Dakshinachar, and Yogachar. There's Siddhantachar and Kulachar. These are Ashtachar, the eight forms of behavior. So Kulachar is the behavior of excellence. And the Kula worshiper is the worshiper of excellence. And remember, Kulachar is even higher than the Yogachar, because Yogachar says, I'm sitting in the solitude of perfect communion. Kulachar says, whether I'm sitting still, perceiving the sunya, the sunyata, the nirvana, the totality of existence, or whether I'm acting in this world, I maintain the same bhava. The same attitude. So it's called the behavior of excellence. And these are, the Kulachar is the worshippers. Kulachar are called Kula worshippers. So this is the path that we strive to. There is nothing that is unholy. Life itself is holy. And everything in it, if consecrated by mantra and explained by and understood as a manifestation of spirituality, it's all part of God. Are there other questions?
Yes, Swami, what was the
Mahanirvana Tantra. Mahanirvana Tantra is one of the principal tantras. It is a wonderful compendium of knowledge regarding, especially Kali, of the tantric period, so that makes it probably from 600 to 1000 AD. It's more modern, but they are restatements of all the Vedic forms of knowledge. Remember, in the Vedas, we had four parts in all the Vedic knowledge. We had Samhita, which are hymns. We had Aranyak, which are stories of the guys wandering in the forest in the Aranya. We had Brahmana, which are the codes for the priests. How do you do the worship? And we had Upanishad, the philosophy. Now, these four were in all the Vedas. And then in the Puranas, they put them back together again. Instead of separating them into four different classes of literature, they put them back together again. They told a story about a king who went to visit the rishi. And the rishi did the puja according to this system of worship. And then he sang this hymn. And then he told him, explained to him this philosophy. And then combined it all together in the Puranas. Now, the epics came along, and they took all the codes of laws, customs, and they put them into the story. So Bhishma gets shot with full of arrows. He lays on his bed of arrows, and the day he's shot, the sun goes into the southern hemisphere. And Bhishma said, I have the boon of Ichamrityu. I have the boon that I will leave my body according to the time that I choose. I want my body to go when the sun is in the northern hemisphere. So for 6 months, he lay on his deathbed discussing all the fine subtleties and all the points of law, customs, traditions, history, all the Kauravas and the Pandavas, the opposing armies, all the disciples, descendants of the great grandfather Bhishma, they all sat around and listened to him give discussion and discourse the greatness of the Dharma. And much of the Mahabharata is a compendium of all these traditions and all this culture and all these laws and rules and customs that have been built up and collected over from the Vedic period to the Puranic period, and then through Manu Sangita and the codes of Manu and the Brahmanic text, and it all came into the epics 300 or 400 BC. Now, these epic texts, there were three primary epic texts. There was the There's the Mahabharata and Ramayana, Valmiki's, of course. And then there's the Srimad Bhagavat and the Devi Bhagavatam. Those four are really considered epic texts, although the two Bhagavats come a little bit later. Now, from this period, from 300 BC to about 400 AD, 700 years, there were so many new promulgations, interpretations, additions, amplifications, new laws, rules, and now came the tantric texts. And they explained it again. They told many of the same stories, and then the king went to the rishi, and the rishi explained him this. Purusharam went to Dattatreya in the Tripura Rahasya, for example. Purusharam went to Dattatreya, found Dattatreya was practicing Panch Makar Sadhana. And he said, Guru, what is this? And Guru said, this is the worship of all of life. There is nothing unholy in life. Now go to the next step. All of life is holy. Everything you do can be your puja. Don't make puja only in the temple. Make puja with everything you do. There is nothing unholy, just purify your perception. And this is the story of the Tripura Rahasya, the three secrets. Wonderful text. We should study that one time. That's a beautiful text. Great story in the Tripura Rahasya that comes to mind. Sorry if I go on a tangent. It's the story of Hemachuda and Hemalekha. Hemachuda, of course, was the king's son, the heir apparent, went out hunting in the forest, came to the rishi's ashram, saw Hemalekha. Well, he was a goner. He just saw Hemalekha. She was the rishi's daughter, and she said, a prince, I advise you to come back to waking consciousness. Whatever you're thinking about, you ask my father, the Rishi, when he comes back from his meditation. The prince was patient and waited for the Rishi to come home. And that evening, the Rishi came home and said, "You've been waiting here all day. What do you want?" And Hemachudra said, "I want to take Hemalika with me. I want her to be my wife." And the Rishi said, "I give my blessing." And so Hemalika and Hemachudra were married. And they went back to the capital city. And, of course, the king prepared a great big feast and so many delights. And Hemalika sat in meditation. So Hemachudra said, "Well, my darling wife, why don't you enjoy with me? Here we are celebrating our marriage. Why don't you enjoy with me?" And the queen said, "Tell me, what is enjoyment? Define enjoyment for me. Is it these transient pleasures that you're seeking, or is it something deeper? Show me the enjoyment of any transient pleasure that isn't mixed with pain. I will be glad to enjoy with you. Just explain to me, because you know I'm a foolish little girl. I've been living in the forest all my life. I grew up in a Rishi's hermitage. I don't know anything about this kingly business. Tell me, define for me enjoyment." Well, Hemachudra scratched his head a little bit and said, "Well, everybody enjoys. I mean, there are just so many things. You were the king. I get to have good food and nice clothes and soft beds and silk sheets. This is all enjoyment." And Hemalika wasn't convinced. And she asked him, "You tell me, what happens if you don't get that pleasure? I mean, do you desire the same pleasure every day? And is it just as enjoyable? Or does it just become the natural course of events, a habit? And when you're denied that pleasure, don't you feel pain? But please, tell me. I'll be more than pleased to enjoy with you. Just define for me what is enjoyment." Well, the king was sort of stuck. He couldn't really come to an answer that was satisfactory for either himself or the queen. So he said, "Well, what do you do for enjoyment?" And Hemalika began to explain the course of meditation.
That's a beautiful book.
It really is a beautiful book. And she led her husband step by step into self-realization. Well, the king became a sannyasi sitting on the throne who only thought for the welfare of his people and only promoted prosperity and goodness and didn't take anything for himself personally. And he earned the respect and the admiration of all the ministers. And the ministers went to the king and they said, what are you doing that's created this type of value system for yourself? You have so much peace and so much contentment. You're not like any other king we've ever seen." And Hemachudra began to explain to them the course of meditation, how to lead a spiritual life. And the ministers became enlightened. And the business class came to the ministers and said, "What's going on here in this kingdom? And no one's taking bribes. No one's trying to force their will on anyone else. There's something very unique going on here. What has happened?" And the ministers explained to the business class the course of meditation and how to lead a spiritual life. Well, when the businessman became so dharmic that there was no greed in the bazaar, all the farmers and all the workers, all the lower class people came to the businessman and said, you're not raising your prices on us. You're not trying to take too much from us. Everybody's acting with honesty and no greed and fairness. Well, what's going on?" And the businessman explained to the farmers and the workers the course of meditation and how to lead a spiritual life. Pretty soon the entire community was enlightened. And this is one of the stories prominent in the Tripura Rahasya. Nothing is unholy. It's all part of the worship. Making children is part of the worship, but you have to have a sankalpa to make the children. You don't make the children and then say, "Oh, I'm stuck." Ha 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 ha.
Hori Hori.
You take the sankalpa and then you make the children. Taking the wine is not unholy, but you purify the wine and remember your purpose. And with that contemplation, you take the wine or the bong or the intoxication as a vehicle to come closer to remembrance, not as a intoxication to put you in a state of forgetfulness. And that's the difference. And that's just what this puja is designed to perform. To create the state of remembrance about everything in our lives. Those are the tantras. So that was another branch of literature that came up. Mahanirvana Tantra is one of the more famous ones. It talks about Kali. It talks about Brahma Vidya, the supreme beyond definition. And then it gives us many, many rules, aphorisms, rules for life. How do we lead a beautiful life? Many of these mantras or the instructions I took from Mahanirvana Tantra, and that's why I put footnotes. I translated the mantras myself, but the instructions I took and quoted from Mahanirvana Tantra. Om Sang Saraswati Namaha.